Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
Bet your sweet bippy we're back. How's it going, guys?
Awesome.
Woohoo!
Welcome into show number 39
on a beautiful sunny day.
It was a nice day, although a little breezy and chilly here in Sactown.
It has been warmer the past few days in DC than it has been in both Northern California and Southern California. It's bizarre.
Well, you know what's really weird is I follow Paul Tuttle Jr. on Twitter, and he tweeted that he went to Florida for an unveil, and it was warmer in upstate New York than it was in Daytona. So
crazy.
All the places it's supposed to be warm, it's cold, and vice versa.
It's the end of the world. Global warming is fucked up. Anyone who says global warming doesn't exist literally needs to have their head examined.
Well, it's climate change, to be fair. It's not really... Global warming is really kind of a misnomer. It was an oversimplification. How about that?
Listen, I'm a creationist.
Okay, whatever works for you.
No, I'm not. I like dinosaurs.
All right, everybody. I want to start out talking about our website and iTunes and all of that jazz and get that out of the way right now.
Straighten it out for us, Nate.
Well, as of right now, as of the podcast taping, we are still not on iTunes because they blow monkey ass.
Lame.
I'm calling Bill. Oh, wait. He's not alive anymore.
You're going to need a seance for that. Hmm. So here's... Basically, this is sort of a warning. At the end of the month, we're pulling the plug on the old site. So if you're one of those people that hits refresh on iTunes, it's going to work this week, and it may work next week for a little bit. But that's it. So what you need to do is go to our new website, natedarlingshow.com, and you go up to Nate Darling Show.
It's like you're pointing.
Podcast.
I don't know if that's
like,
effective on the podcast.
It is, and I'm gesturing toward my computer. If you go to the top, there's a podcast link. There's instructions right on the page. You go, you hit subscribe. It'll bring you to another page, and you can click subscribe with iTunes, and that will put our new feed right into your iTunes. So you can still get us through iTunes, where you'll hit refresh every week, and we'll come in with a fresh new show. We're just not in the iTunes store right now. Hopefully that will be fixed soon, but that's how you can get it in your iTunes and any other feed catcher you might use. If you've got some sort of office mail software that does RSS feeds, you can subscribe to us that way. So that's the easiest way to do it, because we're not going to keep two sites running forever.
Right.
So Podbean's going away in 2 weeks, so that's the update with that. So tell your friends if they're a little bit behind to go to the website and do that. So they need to get stuff updated, because that was going to be happening.
And I have exciting news.
Yes, Mel.
It's not really that exciting, but it's exciting for us.
Okay.
Paul decided he wanted to buy a thing that you can so you can stream your Netflix to your TV, like a
Roku box.
You know how people use like their Wiis and stuff? Mm-hmm. So he got this machine that's like a Blu-ray player, I guess, that also will do the streaming.
Right.
You can tell I have no idea what I'm talking about exactly.
Where do you put the VCR tape?
I hate you. But guess where he bought it?
Tell us, Mel.
He bought it on Amazon through the Nate Darling website.
Ooh.
Yeah, go to Nate. He did what I've asked people to do. So thank you, Paul. You go to natedarlingshow.com. If you're buying something on Amazon, that's the only reason. If you're one of these people who's like, Amazon is destroying local businesses and I hate them, this isn't for you. And I understand that. But if you're going to buy something on Amazon, please go to natedarlingshow.com. Click the link at the top of the page that says Shop Amazon Through Us. And that will bring you right to Amazon. That's all you have to do. And we will get a little taste of what you buy. And it doesn't cost you one thin dime extra.
It's only like one extra click.
Yeah, really. Because whether you go to Amazon.com or you go to our page, you can make our page your homepage. And then it would just be simpler.
Does Amazon sell adult products?
Amazon sells virtually everything. They do, yeah.
I have a lot of gift cards from Amazon. I'm getting to the point I'm going to have to declare, I think, to the IRS how many gift cards I have. I could go shopping for like 2 years, I think, and never spend anything.
Why don't you start shopping?
I'm going to.
Through the site.
Or give them to me.
Well, I had to. Well, actually, so I'm at a wedding in June in Hawaii, and I'm excited because the clothes, like, it's really, I like the stuff they picked out for the dudes. And I can get it all at Macy's. And I have like a kabillion Macy's gift cards.
You're Mr. Gift Card.
Right?
Yeah, because I love getting them, but I'm sometimes not good about getting them. Ooh, but fun Larry tip. As soon as you get one, I always get a black permanent marker and call the number on the back to check the balance and write it. And when you go to the store and use it, if you don't use it all, make the updated change.
That's what I do.
There you go.
That's I won a contest a couple years ago, and I got a Nordstrom gift card, and I did that.
How much did you win?
It was a lot. Check this out. So they do on one of the local radio stations, and I'm sure they do them all over the country. They do one of those, send us your Christmas wish and we'll grant it.
Yeah.
And I don't really, you know, I don't really need anything per se, but every year I like to do it, and I just sort of ask for ridiculous things or funny things. Mm-hmm. So a couple years ago, obviously before I met Paul, I sent them this really funny letter asking for a boyfriend for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote this whole big email about, you know, needing a boyfriend. And so what I got for my wish was a makeover, hair and makeup makeover,
uh-huh,
clothing, a new wardrobe from Nordstrom. It was like $300 or $400.
Wow.
A book on dating and $300 for two separate online dating websites.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then I wound up, you know, using the gift card, obviously, just for fun stuff. I just kept the money for the online dating websites. I did 2 months of online dating, and then I started dating somebody. So then I kept the rest of that money.
Oh.
And yeah, it was awesome. I made out like a bandit. It was really awesome.
I love that they gave a Jew a Christmas present.
Right?
Well, she asked. It's fair.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov.
I didn't mention that I was Jewish.
Well, why would you?
Do they make you sign anything that say that you think Jesus is the Lord and Savior of all humanity?
Thankfully, they did not.
No, that's if you want to be a Santorum campaign worker.
Oh.
He lost. He lost in Illinois.
Well, yeah. Yay. He lost in Puerto Rico, too.
I don't want to showbiz you for the show, but I am saying that I'm already ashamed of so many parts of myself based on the agenda for tonight.
Oh yeah, we have a new segment tonight that's coming up in a little bit. So
yeah, there's two pieces of the show tonight that I'm not proud of.
It's the new segment is called Bad Cop Worst Cop. So that's coming up in a little bit.
Oh yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
All right, first off, St. Patrick's Day. Let's quickly talk about
that. Oh dear Lord,
Larry, you seem to be the one who was going all Irish on us last week. So how was your St. Patrick's Day?
I will say, as someone that's 100% Irish, that it's a very important day for me. And I like to say that St. Patrick's Day isn't really for Irish people. It's a day that Irish people let non-Irish people know and experience the joy that Irish people feel every day. Aww. My St. Patrick's Day was a blast. I participated in an extremely large, somewhat chaotic pub crawl with 1,000-ish of my favorite friends. We started a little bit late because some of my friends were a little bit late from San Francisco.
Oh.
But it was good because, I just have to say that I think when you're in college, you really need to learn how to drink excessive amounts because it comes in handy when you need to go to events like this. I was a trooper. Like, I mean, I got drunk. I wasn't hot mess drunk, but I was drunk. But other people got really tired. So some people left early, which, you know, was totally cool. I got it. It was a blast. Went to a bunch of different bars. This is what me and my friends, though, discovered. No joke. And if other people were out in St. Patrick's Day in Sacramento, you would understand. It became National Hot Dude Goes Out Day because, no joke, every place we went, we were at the Golden Bear and we were standing around.
Hey, now.
And what?
The Golden Bear?
I love the Golden Bear.
Is that a gay bar?
Which sounds like if anyone's not from Sacramento thinks it's a gay bar, or not from Sacramento, probably sounds like a gay bar, but it's not. It's like post-college bar. It's really fun.
It's kind of hipstery.
Kinda. It's like non-douchey hipster. And so we were sitting around and we were looking around like, where the fuck are all these guys coming from? And they were really fun too, not douchey. So it was great. I ended up the night dancing. Something that makes me laugh is that the pub crawl is really large and attracts, I won't say a diverse crowd, but it's not just like 24-year-old drunk people. There's some older people. There's some people who don't go out.
Drunk people of all ages.
Mm-hmm. And it goes through the gay part of Midtown. And
how does that work? Do they be like, okay, time to move on, and then everybody exoduses to the next bar?
It's too big to do it. There was 19 bars, and no joke, there probably were about 1,000 people total. So people generally, like, you, whenever you go to something like that, you have to decide if you're going to be like in the middle of the pack, the front of the pack, or the back of the pack. And you kind of just go at your own pace. But all the bars are packed. So like it doesn't really, there's so many people, you just kind of follow along. What I find really interesting, all the straight people, because you go right through all the gay parts and all the straights end up in gay bars. Like the depot was so crowded with straight people, like what's going on? And then we went to Badlands and there were straight people and they're like, this is amazing. I can't believe this is a fun dance club. But it was great. I danced, I got drunk and then I danced all night long.
And you had St. Patrick's Day hot dogs, it seemed.
I did. So Capital Dog is like the halfway point, more or less. And for $5, you get a hot dog and beer. And so that to me is my favorite point, because it's one of the few places where you can kind of talk and you get to hang out. And I met all kinds of people. That was really fun. I think I had 2 hot dogs. So I was starving.
He thinks.
I can't really remember because I had one. I think I had 2. Because I was drinking a lot. I drink a lot. The best part ever was at Alley Cats. No one was putting music in the jukebox. So I went in and put $5 and somehow got like 1 billion credits. I don't know how it happened. And I was playing songs that were amazing. I was playing like Flo Rida and Kelly Clarkson and Kesha. And it was great. So and then the night ended. I was just getting ready to go home. And I swear that God did not want me to go home, because what came on? A 20-minute mega mix of Kesha songs. I literally almost creamed my pants.
Oh my word.
It was a great, I had to say St. Patrick's Day was fun. I got to hang out with lots of awesome people and celebrate Irish things.
Oh my God, you've hit the mic like 43 times so far on the show.
I'm sorry.
And we just started.
He's very excited.
I'm just so excited. What did you guys do for St. Patrick's Day?
I had a headache all day because I went out. I went out the night before because it was one of my friend's birthdays, and I didn't have a ton to drink, but I had enough. If I have more than like 2 drinks, what happens is my sleep is very restless, and I end up sleeping in a weird position. And so I ended up waking up with a crick in my neck, which meant I had a headache. So basically, I slept all day on St. Patrick's Day. Oh. Mel, you?
I had shows. So I went to Midtown and hung out and met lots of people too, and wore my Guinness shirt and green beads. Aww. And had some beer, and we did a lady business show that was really good. I got the audience to do a call and respond in the show with me, which was really
nice.
It was super fun. And I also got somebody in the audience to come on stage and be in one of the scenes, which was really fun.
Wow.
And then for Anti-Cooperation League, the second show, we had Warp 11 as the guest, and they are a Star Trek band. Holy shit, I expected like this nerd band. First of all, the woman in the band, Kiki, is...
I'm sorry, her name is Kiki?
She is smoking hot. Check out their website. Her rack is phenomenal. Phenomenal. And one of the CDs is just her breasts. But they were awesome. And they're basically like... They are a Star Trek band, and they have 1 million... CDs, but they're basically like sex, drugs, and Star Trek. So they sort of rock. And they did 2 songs. They were great guests. We had a really fun show.
Wow.
And I got 2 of their CDs.
All right.
And they were really funny. So check out Warp 11. I was completely impressed. Their songs are kind of dirty and funny and irreverent.
We should have her boobs on the podcast.
Oh my God. And we did a scene where I was like looking for this guy's lost girlfriend based on just a picture of her boobs. So I got to go hit on her in the audience as one of the cast members. Girlfriends in the scene.
Okay.
Her full name is Kiki Stockhammer. Not, that sounds like a porn star.
Yeah, I don't.
She's hot.
I don't know if that's her given name. The Stockhammers.
Was your crowd crazy drunk, or is it good?
No, they were. It was a huge crowd, but they were really awesome. Oh, they were really into it and having a really good time. But they were totally
awesome.
Cool. Like, you know, a couple of weeks ago we did the Drunk versus High, and I actually had to physically remove somebody from the theater, and we were worried that might happen again. The audience was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, damn stoners. All right, moving on. NCAA tournament in full effect.
Yes. Go Ohio!
Yay! I'm so butch when it comes to college basketball. I'm so gay for college basketball.
All right, settle down.
Okay, that was an oxymoron.
Let me just... it was. Let me recap everything. The University of Vermont won in the first 4, which put them...
Played at the University of Dayton in Dayton, Ohio. What?
And won. And they got for that the right to go to North Carolina and play against the University of North Carolina, where they lost.
What?
Which was expected, but they put up a good fight. They lost by 19 at essentially what was a home game for North Carolina. So I'm proud of the Catamounts.
So now the Bobcats will play North Carolina, right? OU.
I believe so.
No.
They beat South Florida and play North Carolina.
Yeah, and it's awesome because the dude from UNC, their star, fucked up their wrist and isn't going
to
play.
Unfortunately, now Ohio State and Cincinnati have to play each other. So, that seems unfair.
So right now there are 16 teams left in the tournament as we record this podcast. 4 of them are from Ohio.
Woo! What? 25%, y'all.
OH.
IO.
So Cincinnati, Xavier, Ohio State, and Ohio University are still in the tournament.
My dad was giddy on the phone the other day. He was so excited.
As Dick Vitale said, and he said this about a month ago, Ohio is the capital of college basketball because all the teams that were in consideration, because the NIT, I believe, had 6 Ohio teams in addition, and the amount of just Ohio basketball there is incredible.
So there you go. Congratulations, guys.
Yay.
I was hoping, I'm sad that Ohio State and UC have to play each other because I was hoping for an all Ohio Final
yeah.
Four, but it won't work that way.
No,
it will not work that way. All right, so moving
sad.
On, a sports story. We'll start off with another sports story. You know how little leagues need to get sponsors to sort of pay for things like travel expenses and maintenance of the fields
insurance.
And stuff
yes,
like that?
Yes, my neighbors are little leaguers, and they're always doing stuff.
Well, in the L.A. area, a little league has returned a $1,200 donation.
Stupid.
Yep. It looked like a financial home run for the cash-strapped little league. However, the broke peewee baseball league in Southern California has decided to return a $1,200 donation from a local strip club that would have helped keep the league afloat.
Sometimes we get blinded by our morality.
Mm-hmm. Officials from the Lenox Little League initially appeared ready to accept the donation from the L.A. International Airport Area Jiggle Joint.
Called Jiggle Joint?
No,
is that
the
article?
That's the article.
The writer thinks he's hilarious.
That's Philip Caulfield, who thinks he's hilarious. It's called the Jet Strip Gentleman's Club.
I know exactly where that is. It's right by LAX.
Exactly. So, anyway, they initially were going to accept it, and then they decided to kick it back. So I don't know if they're going to have a little league team this year because they didn't want to take $1,200 from a perfectly legal business.
Why? What would that have meant? What would it have meant if you take money from a strip club?
The children, Mel. Think of the children. The children.
Well, what does it mean for the children?
Would they take money from a gas company like BP that poisoned the Gulf? Would they take money from I just think that's so fucking stupid.
Of course they would. That's how they roll.
Ugh. I'm over.
I mean, what does it mean to them if they take money from a strip club that they're endorsing stripping?
It's not like they're asking like the little girls to like dance on little stripper poles and like, you know, it's just stupid.
And I feel bad because a strip club, I guess, is always trying to give people money and nobody wants it. And they're just trying to support their community. That's stupid to me.
Right. And it wasn't a gift where it was going to be Jet Strip Club on the back of the uniforms. Like
that would be pretty awesome.
Like in the Bad News Bears when it was the Bail Bonds company.
Oh, yeah.
In the Bad News Bears. That wasn't the situation at all. So apparently they'd rather go insolvent than take $1,200.
Another fine example of how fucked up Los Angeles is.
Well, dude, that would happen anywhere. That would happen in Dayton, Ohio.
False. It would not happen in Dayton,
Ohio. It would happen anywhere because you've got a bunch of women who are all uptight because they pushed a child out from their loins and suddenly they are the beacon of morality.
I forget the city. I think it was Chicago. There was a gay bathhouse. I think that's an oxymoron. There's a bathhouse that sponsored, I think it was football, like a little kid football league was going to go out of business and they donated all the money and they took the money because they, you know, and they didn't realize who it was till after, but I thought that was kind of funny.
Well, afterward, then once you've spent it, are you going to give it back?
If I was running a youth sports league and anyone wanted to give me money, as long as it wasn't illegal, I would take it from like the West Coast Fisting Club.
Well, of course you would.
Again, I'm not a fist fucker.
We've heard that before.
Maybe.
So moving on to women who aren't so uptight, we go to the UK for a woman who is paid £25,000 a year to test sex toys.
That is awesome.
I looked that up. That's just under 40 grand, if you're wondering.
And that's probably just a part-time job, even. She could have another job on top of that. That's awesome.
I would hope so, because if you did that 40 hours a week,
your vagina would be so tired.
She's found her passion.
She has. There was a controversy last year when one of the judges of the X Factor in Britain had a vibrator go off in her bag at the airport. She was offered £200,000 by an online firm to create a range of sex toys, and she apparently has turned that down. But
stupid.
But this woman, Nat Garvey, would not have batted an eyelid if a vibrator had gone off in her bag, because she's put more than 1,000 sex toys to the test.
1,000 in her vagina?
Well, not necessarily.
Well, sex toys don't just go in your vagina.
Oh, they can go window shopping, right? Yeah. That's what a lot of girls do.
Well, you can have spanky things and underweary things and vibrate-y things and, you know, there's lots of different nipple clamps. There's a million different kinds of things. Sex toys means lots of things.
Love cuffs.
PVC outfits and saucy undies and her job trialing products for an internet firm. Single Nat helps judge what adult shop passion should stock after landing the perfect £25,000-a-year job more than 2 years ago. She says, and I quote, "Rather than being surrounded by office supplies and computers all day, I have piles of kinky toys to play with. Apparently, it is a full-time job, Mel."
Awesome.
She says she's not a sex addict. She's representing normal girls who also need to buy these toys. Need to? Okay. At least want to.
I believe healthcare should cover sex toys.
Uh-oh. I don't think Rick Santorum would approve of that.
I love the word sanatorium.
She also says sex toys aren't taboo anymore. Single girls and couples should know how much toys can enrich their lives, and it's her job to find the ones good for single girls, couples, and usable for people of all ages. She rates the toys and files weekly reports. Here's my report on the vibrator.
Yeah, I think you could do that in a day or two.
Tough day at the office today. I have to try the rabbit number 7.
She works from home, obviously.
If that'd be good. She does her work at the library and the near Starbucks.
She telecommutes from home. She says she's tried.
Could you imagine if it was an office and she had a cubicle?
Oh, yeah. You'd want the high walls for that cubicle. I would think anyway. She's tried all sorts of different and weird and wonderful toys, plus some pretty bad ones. She says she tries on PVC outfits and underwear as she's a normal girl with a normal body that she can judge what they really look like. She said, my job is fun, different, and fulfills my needs. I couldn't ask for anything more.
Oh, that'd be kind of funny.
I'm jealous.
You know what's weird? I would... See, this is sort of the weird thing. It's like, if you were to ask her out, because she's single, if you're a guy and you ask her out and she says, oh, yeah, let's go out, and you go out and you have a good time, and you're thinking everything is going really, really well, and you're going well on your way. You're on, say, date 3 or whatever, and you're thinking everything is great, and she's like, I am so tired. Today was so stressful at the office. And you're like, oh, great. Well, I have a way to help you unwind. What do you do again? I test sex toys. Fuck.
Yeah, she's like the last thing I wanted. It's like my dad, you know, when I was a kid, was a gynecologist. So he looked at vaginas all day. And everybody used to joke, like, by the time he gets home from work, he never wanted to touch my mom because he looked at vaginas all day. She plays with hers all day.
Did you just say she? Oh, I thought you. Okay. I didn't mean to be disrespectful. I thought you were talking about your mother.
Well, she may have, too.
And I was like, you had a very open, progressive family.
Mm-hmm. Well, we did, but, you know. Yeah, could you? And imagine when she takes you back to her house and she didn't tidy up.
There's sex toys everywhere.
Like an arsenal. Right. I went over to a male dominant, not a dominatrix, but a dominant,
uh-huh.
I guess.
Dom. Mm.
And he had, like, it was like going into somebody's war room. It was terrifying.
Wow.
It's fascinating.
And why were you there again?
Oh, I wanted to see.
Oh, okay.
If you have gay male friends that are like an older gay couple, I encourage you to try to explore their basement. I have a theory that every older gay male couple has like a dungeon in their basement.
That is an odd theory.
It's kind of holds true.
Does it?
I have one older male couple friends and I've been in their basement. And it's mostly just luggage and furniture.
How do you know?
Well, I didn't see it unless it's like a hidden compartment.
I know someone who will go unnamed, but he specializes in home remodeling.
Oh.
Most of his businesses is making, pleasure rooms. There's different.
Hey, now.
There's different rooms of what you call them, and a lot of times they're hidden. A lot of people, when they build homes, they build special rooms to go into them.
Some people want like a safe room. Other people want a kink room.
Some people want both.
Oh boy!
I'd make my safe room into a kink room, so in case I had to lock myself in,
it's
still be able
to have fun.
It's
the end of the world. You can just fuck like crazy. That shit. If the world was gonna end, I'd be like, okay, y'all, we're gonna have the world's largest orgy. Get it on. Oh,
exactly.
Ow, whatever I hear a zipper, I think a thing's getting stuck in it.
If it sounds that clean, nothing got stuck.
That sound of the zipper, my favorite coat, the zipper broke.
Oh.
And it like tore away, so I don't even think you can fix it.
It might be.
So. It's one last rip of the zip. Anyway, a Christian band, we've gone from sex
right
toys.
Right there, I'm already turned off now, thanks.
How about a Christian rap metal band from Minnesota?
Ugh.
They had some shocking words last week for an Iowa high school audience. Administrators told the local media the group was supposed to talk about bullying and making good choices. Sure. Instead, apparently the band told girls in the audience that, quote, they were going to have mud on their wedding dresses if they weren't virgins.
What does that mean?
In a breakout session for girls, the band told them to save themselves for their husbands and assume a submissive role in marriage. Then the girls were forced to chant a mantra about virginity.
Didn't anybody research what this band sort of philosophy was?
The principal's astute, and luckily the principal's resigned since it, because it's ridiculous.
I want to hear this virginity mantra chant. I really do.
We will keep our vaginas tight. We are all right. Woohoo! That's pretty much what it was.
Oh my God.
What the fuck is going on in the world?
Well, the Christians are taking over, Larry. That's what's going on in the world. It's terrible. You know, I don't know what's going on. But first of all, you know there's a problem when you see that they are a Christian rap metal band. Those are three categories that should not be lumped in together in any stretch of the imagination.
I just love thinking about like a really serious metal band that does all this sort of Jesus-y music. Like, can you imagine? Like, it sounds awesome, but then when you listen to the words, it's like, ah, God is good. I love Jesus.
There is no such thing, because if they were any good, they wouldn't have... The whole thing with Christian music is it's a gimmick for mediocre bands to sell records. I mean, South Park did a whole thing about this. About
Michael W. Smith, though, to be fair, is pretty
decent. Wasn't there like a breakout rock band that had something about the water puddle, water
Jars of Clay.
Jars of Clay.
There's a couple. I mean,
you'll get one here and there, but for the Faith Hill's not a Christian.
She started as a Christian artist.
Well, Amy Grant would be more of an
example. What about Indigo Girls?
They're just lesbians.
But they're sort of Christian-y.
Yeah, progressive Christians, yeah, for sure.
Sure.
No, actually, there's a lot. Sixpence None the Richer, you know, they had that really big song a couple years, 10 years ago. Do you know that song I'm talking about? No, it's a really good song.
I doubt it.
No, it's number one. They are a very progressive.
Oh,
Christian
well, number
band.
One, that nothing but good songs are number one. Well, that next week we'll do a segment of terrible songs that
I
went to number
one. I do remember
one.
Them, and I remember liking whatever it
They're
was.
They're from
so.
Over the Rhine in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Over the Rhine, another actually very
progressive. Oh my God, yes, awesome.
My dad loves them.
You know what time it is, Mel?
What time is it?
It's time for our original segment.
It is?
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
It's time for...
Cool.
Hey.
Two.
Well, a little bit too hot there. All right, so first up in Cooler Tool, it's sponsored by the In Your Facebook Improv Show. That's coming up this Saturday at the Sacramento Comedy Spot at 8 p.m. $8 tickets or $12 gets you in to see two shows. Our show in ACL.
So. And if you have a Facebook page, you should definitely go and be the guest.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. If you're just a Google Plus person, fuck you. Fuck you,
Can
Google
Plus.
Can we
just decide that Google Plus is never going to catch on and people stop joining because it's stupid?
Well, who knows? All right, so first up in Cooler Tool, kids returning the stripper money. Cooler Tool, Mel?
Tool, stupid.
Tool, ridiculous.
It's absolutely a tool move. I mean, come on. It's for the kids. Like, if the whole point for the kids is to be able to play Little League and do their thing, if a business is willing to kick up a little bit of money for it, who cares if it's a strip club or a bail bondsman or the repo man? It doesn't really matter. If it's a legal business, you don't want it to be Joe's drug den. But if it's a legal business, absolutely go for it. All right, being a sex toy tester, Mel. I think
awesome.
I think cool.
It's the coolest thing ever.
Now young whores have something to aspire to.
Oh, not now. Look, he's perverted the whole thing. You should see the look on Mel's face. If I'd said that, she would have punched me by now. Yeah, it's true.
It was a joke.
It was.
Now,
I want this job.
We use humor.
Maybe instead of
Adam and Eve, if you're listening, hire me. I will test for you. I'm honest.
Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
That's right.
When everyone says Adam and Eve, that's automatically what my brain goes to.
Well, you've had it chanted at you often enough, haven't you? Being a sex toy tester, I'm going to go cool on that. Although, again, that's going to be rough for any guy who has to try and live up to that because it's just a tough one. All right.
I remember like being told when I was like, whatever, younger, but not super young, that if you like masturbate too much or use vibrators too much, then you'll never have like satisfying sex with a regular partner. So I was always afraid that I would like ruin my vagina.
That's something you tell girls because they don't know any better. It doesn't matter what you tell guys. We're going to keep doing it.
Mm.
There's nothing that's going to stop us. The threat of blindness and hairy palms doesn't do it. It just does not do it.
Yeah, I think it's surprising how girls are a little bit clueless of how much young dudes masturbate.
Oh, God.
All the time.
Young dudes, middle dudes, old dudes.
That's why Bridesmaid's so brilliant when the girl is like, do you know what it's like to have three teenage boys in your house? If I run a black light in it, it would glow. Because you're like, this is fun. I'm going to keep doing it.
Look what I can do. All right. And finally, in Cooler Tool,
are too easy.
I know. It's an easy week. The school for booking the Christian rap metal band. Larry starts.
Cool. I'm going to say cool because I believe religious diversity is important. I can't even say that with a straight face. It's a public school. Arg. Go to a private school if you want to have religious instruction. Tool.
Mel.
Well, see, now Larry just made me question what I was going to say.
Sexuality?
Yes. Oh, okay. Larry makes me question my sexuality every time we're in the same room.
Thank you.
You know, I would say if they were a sane, not cuckoo crazy Christian band that came in and wanted to show one viewpoint, and you wanted to bring somebody else in that wanted to show another viewpoint, and you were doing it from a place of intelligence, yes, fine. But this band has a website, and they're crazy, and everybody knew they were crazy, and their views are very out there. Their drummer has all these websites that show what a freak he is. So they should have done their homework. So their tools for bringing in this particular band and letting them say this particular vile junk, and for not, right, throwing them out as soon as they started spewing it.
Exactly. Hey, who's got a good butt plug? Let's try one out.
That drummer is crazy.
Wow.
A terrible drummer.
That drummer's out of control.
You know what? While one part of me wants to applaud the thought process of going, hey, let's try something different. We can bring in the Christian element, but we can be cool by bringing in rap and metal all in one. They never go together, ever. Ever. They're like the anti-chocolate and peanut butter. So it's an absolute tool move. And trying to introduce your own morality to kids in school, if you're a principal, is really just a shitty idea to begin with.
At a public school. And I say that as someone that always went to private schools. You go to private schools because you... I can't even talk about
it. And don't you think somebody besides a Christian rap metal band would have been appropriate to talk about bullying?
Right.
Yeah, well, who do you think got bullied more than that group of assholes? I mean, come on, let's be honest.
You pompous freaks.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Seriously?
Don't play your guitar, Jesus.
What would you tell somebody if they told you they were in a Christian rap metal band? You would do nothing but mock them
for
a week.
I'd say, how you doing?
How does Jesus like your band? He thinks we suck.
Can I say, this morning, do you know how Kurt Cameron has kind of gone a little bit crazy? I'm a little pissed.
He's not crazy. He's just super religious. He's right. Ignorant.
I just don't understand. He was on the Today Show this morning, and Ann Curry, someone who I traditionally like, the easiest softball questions ever and said, don't you think that your results, you know, how do you feel about that? You can't say, if you're, okay, here's what I'm angry at. You can't say hateful things and then say, I don't hate you. I hate who, like, what you choose to do. That'd be like saying, I don't really hate black people. I just don't like people with black skin.
Well,
like, it's so obnoxious.
Larry, then you disagree with Jesus, because Jesus said, don't hate the sinner, hate the sin.
No.
Yeah, you disagreed with Jesus. Mark it down. Larry disagreed with Jesus. I'm telling.
Jesus said, I agree with Jesus about homosexuality.
I'm going to tell Tim Tebow that you disagreed with Jesus.
Now he's homeless. I'm going to start a collection for Tim Tebow.
He's not homeless.
He's going to be on the streets. I've got a very big bed, Tim Tebow.
Really? You want religious Tim Tebow in your bed?
Yeah.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
Larry's going to turn
name
him.
Name one gay dude that doesn't want Tim Tebow in their bed.
Ew.
Are you fucking kidding me?
He'll Tebow you.
His neck. Damn. I love a good neck on a guy.
Yeah.
I can't deny it.
All right. Well, we're going to move on from there.
Woo, it's hot in here.
Okay. You know what? We talked about this earlier. It's time for the newest segment on the show. This may be a regular thing, too, depending on what we find. Call it Bad Cop, Worst Cop. Let's start in Memphis, Tennessee, the Mid-South, where a cop was caught having sex in his squad car.
Yeah, but for everyone that gets caught, there's like a million that are doing it that haven't gotten caught.
But how did he get caught, you might ask? He was on duty. He accidentally hit the radio button on his transmitter. So everybody on the police frequency got to hear him going at it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so, all over the broadcast. So there is a recording of it somewhere. It hasn't been released yet, but I guarantee you every TV station in Memphis has filed the Freedom of Information Act to get that recording.
Oh, yeah. We had one of our cruisers when I was an officer had the mic was set kind of low. So if you like kind of relaxed your legs, your right knee would key the mic.
Oh, yeah.
And every officer that rode in that car at one point or another, you either heard them on their personal cell phone having a gooey talk with their girlfriend, or one guy was in his car singing. We heard him sing a whole song over the radio. Oh, it was awesome.
So that's Bad Cop. And let's go on to Worst Cop. We'll go to Chicago now. Bigger city, bigger cops with bigger sweeping powers. A Chicago cop tells reporters, and I quote, your First Amendment rights can be terminated. That's right. Now, to be fair, there were reporters outside of a hospital in Chicago, and the hospital called the police, said that they were saying that the media was trying to get into the hospital, which wasn't necessarily true. So the cops rolled out. and said, hey, you need to stand over there. Some of the reporters went to the other side of the street. Others went to the median in the middle of the road, which is a public area.
And not,
could be
it's not the hospital's property.
It is not. It's a public area. And, well, that wasn't good enough for one officer who argued with reporters in the median telling them that they must move. When they refused, he insisted, and I quote, your First Amendment right can be terminated if you're creating a scene or whatever.
It sounds like he was creating a scene or whatever.
What is or whatever? Challenged by reporters that they had not created a scene, the officer replied, your presence is creating a scene. Yeah, you know what else is creating a scene? Your face. Your face is creating a scene.
I know, you just want to scream like your mom.
It's kind of what it was. So that was silly. So a reporter for one TV station and a photographer for a different TV station ended up getting handcuffed and put in the paddy wagon, if you will.
How did that go?
It didn't go great. Now, the reporter was one thing, but the photog had the camera on his shoulder, and he was like, hey, let me put my camera down. And he's like, I don't give a shit about your camera. So that would be destroying private property, too.
Yeah.
So good luck to you, sir. Fine member of the police force
in
Chicago.
It's so embarrassing.
But we're not done because there's an even worse cop.
Yeah, the last one's bad.
But wait, there's more.
We have bad worse, and this is going to be the worst cop this time. It's a Rhode Island cop. He just got sentenced for a 2009 incident.
Can you talk like Rhode Islanders?
No.
Coffee milk. That's all they drink.
Well, there's a lot of Guidos in Rhode Island, so there's a range of the Downeaster sort of Maine type thing mixed in with some Italian. So
why is it a state? It's the size of like a subdivision in California.
Because no one wants to claim it, pretty much. So a Lincoln, Rhode Island police officer was convicted of kicking a handcuffed woman in the head.
Bitch deserved it.
Outside the Twin River Casino. He's been given a 10-year suspended sentence with probation.
Shocking.
Yep. The punishment just came down on Monday. The state judge convicted him in January of felony battery with a dangerous weapon for kicking Donna Levesque of Uxbridge, Mass. The encounter was caught on surveillance video as Levesque sat on a curb. She was sitting on a curb, handcuffed, hands behind her, waiting for a patrol car to pick her up for a booking on a disorderly conduct charge. The officer notified the court that he plans to appeal his conviction to the state Supreme Court.
Damn right.
He has been...
If there wasn't a video of it, maybe he could have some sort of an explanation. But when you watch the video, it's just, holy balls, come on. Ice Cube, take the motherfucking
stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, the nothing? Yeah, exactly.
Except now he plays cops on TV shows, so a bit ironic.
So that's bad cop, worse cop.
I mean, it's so humiliating and horrifying to watch that kind of behavior, because all he had to do was step away from her, because she was sort of kicking at him when he kicked her in the head. He could have stepped away from her if they felt she was a danger to others or to herself. They could have hog-tied her. There was a million things they could have done, but kicking her in the head wasn't an option, or should not have been an option.
That obviously was an option.
Yeah, right?
It was the bad option.
I mean, talk about not being able to control your emotions. To lash out like that is just unbelievable.
Especially when you know that in this day and age, I sound like an old person. In this day and age,
when I was a kid,
cameras everywhere. Right? Anytime you do anything. Which, interesting enough, there's an article about spring break and how college kids are dramatically more calm on spring break now, because people are so afraid that if they do something crazy, they're going to get captured on film or end up on Facebook or YouTube. And that right now, I forget where, there was only, I wasn't Daytona, it was Cancun. There was only one wet t-shirt contest for a whole week.
That's terrible.
Are you listening to porn? I'm uncomfortable.
At first, I thought it was like a spring break toucan bird, and then I realized no.
Oh, it's a very different type of toucan bird. Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, it's getting to where you can't even kick a suspect in the head anymore without
bitch
right.
Deserved it. She shouldn't have looked at him that way.
You know, and I had.
I'm going to call her Rihanna.
I had an interesting Facebook thread about this, and I said jokingly that it's a great sign that that women are finally getting treated equally now. Because
Amen. Because
back in the day, you would have never dreamed of kicking a woman in the head like that. You'd reserve that for a black dude or a Hispanic man. But now, the sisters are doing it for themselves.
Do you know what I think is extremely interesting?
No.
The Tyree thing, the guy in Florida, the teenager that got shot. This is what I think.
You mean Trayvon?
Trayvon. Yeah, I forgot his name. Here, I mean, obviously, it's a tragic story. Here, what I think is so... like America has become so comfortable or becoming uncomfortable. We don't know how to talk about racial issues outside of white and black. The fact that it was reported that the dude that shot him was a white man when he's clearly Hispanic and they're still reporting in it. I don't want to really go into it because I think the story is just really messed up. But
what Larry's trying to say is don't blame Whitey this time.
Well, no, I mean, what I think is interesting, though, is though if it was a white man, they generally would in the news would say an unarmed black man was shot by a white man. But they're not saying for the most except for Fox News.
Yeah.
An unarmed black teenager was shot by a Latino guy.
It's funny that you say an obviously Hispanic man, because when I looked at the picture, I wasn't sure what he was.
Yeah. And his family was upset because they were saying his family supposedly is multiracial and actually has black people in it and stuff. He's also a little crazy. But Florida has fucked up gun laws just like Arizona, where if you believe you're threatened, like the hard part is because people weren't angry about that law before, it's going to be very difficult for him to try. Like Christina, I don't know if you saw, she wrote a really good explanation, like, he didn't violate, unfortunately, the way the law is written in Florida, if you feel threatened, even if someone's running away, you still have the right to, quote unquote, defend yourself. Fucked up.
Yeah, well, welcome to Florida. That's the way it goes. Larry, let's move on to something a little bit.
Yes, please.
A little bit lighter. And it's something that you may deal with yourself, because I know you're afflicted with this. It's dating with narcolepsy.
Hey!
Found an article about this, and I immediately thought of you.
I actually read that article.
Good, because that's why I send out this show prep stuff.
I know, I'm really bad sometimes about the show prep.
That's okay. Romance is hard for everyone, particularly when you have a condition that will make you mysteriously collapse. Now, is yours that bad where you will...
If I'm not on my medication, it can be.
Okay. So this is written from the point of view of a woman. She said, I have 30 seconds to make it to my couch or I will lose consciousness and crash onto the floor. Get up. You have to get up, I tell Nathan, who is currently in my way. He looks at me, huh? It's this thing I have. It happens all the time. Please get up. So the guy stands up. She runs through the front door, lumbering through the hallway like Godzilla, nearly tramples the beagle, who squeals like an unsuspecting villager does when the killer lizard comes to town. This is written very oddly. So basically, this is somebody who's dating somebody, and she's like, I have to get to my couch. And he's like, should I call an ambulance? What's wrong with you?
Oh.
And so she's like, no, I just have to lie here.
What the article doesn't do a good job of, ooh, we're going to have some narcolepsy education.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Most people that have narcolepsy have a thing called cataplexy. When you experience extreme emotion, it's usually either like extreme laughter, extreme sadness, or extreme happiness. You lose muscle control, and it's not a full seizure, but you can collapse, and it can take a couple of seconds to come to. I really don't have cataplexy, which is phenomenal. Because if you have cataplexy, you have to take this crazy ass medication where you take the date rape drug, GHB, and wow, you wake up 4 hours into your sleep and have to drink it because it's the only way your brain will be able to like function. But I really don't have cataplexy, but she does. So, and you feel it coming on, which I just think is very bizarre. So that's what she's describing about like, whoa, cause if you don't, you like collapse. Luckily, my narcolepsy is really well managed, and I'm pretty, like, I'm ridiculously careful about stuff. But I will say it's kind of unique, like, talking to someone, especially because, like, let's say you're seeing someone, hypothetically, and you're hanging out with them at night, and you can fall asleep pretty easily, because at night, that's when, because I'm on medication, but so at night, that's generally where it doesn't work, because I'm not on it, and you can fall asleep, and sometimes you can fall asleep maybe at times that you maybe shouldn't. Even if it's just cuddling or like talking or whatever. And so I always tell people like, hey, just let you know. And it's people are always like really scared a little bit.
It sounds like the perfect excuse. Like Paul's going to start doing that because he falls asleep on me all the time. He's like, I'm narcoleptic, honey.
I'm so sorry.
It's not that you weren't interesting.
But do you know what's awkward when your neurologist talks to you about intimacy? Because it's a sign. Like, and I'm not going into details, but
asleep like on someone's back mid-
on someone's back. How do you think?
Let him finish, please.
That's what he said.
don't draw pictures that we don't need.
I have never fallen asleep during anything like that.
Okay, where were you going with your story?
But you can, and it's always a possibility. So, neurologists ask very specific questions because to gauge if you have cataplexy, one of the times it can happen most is when you
have an orgasm. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Because you reach extreme orgasm. And so for some people, you literally and then like collapse.
Now Paul's
like
using that
like
as
some
an
animals,
excuse.
Yeah. Some animals have that.
When they have an orgasm? What?
Yeah, like their
brain
almost
like those fainting goats?
Sort of, yeah. And a lot of people, so like, I'm glad I don't have cataplexy. Thank God.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting because you don't hear a lot of people talking about narcolepsy or anything like that. So I found it kind of an interesting article.
I'm one in 6,500 people, y'all.
There you go.
Don't be jealous. Yeah.
Now, have you ever had like a really embarrassing situation happen because of the narcolepsy?
Yes. Before I was diagnosed, I would fall asleep in the middle of conversations.
And they thought you were just making fun of them?
I think people didn't know how to treat it. Like, because they, I mean, and when you have narcolepsy, you don't remember. The only time you remember is when someone points it out. So, like, right now, if I was on my medication and I had an episode, I could be, and I wouldn't, I would pick up just like nothing happened.
So it's like someone hits the pause button on your brain.
And what's weird, and this is why narcoleptics are so creative, because as soon as it happens, I can go into I can go into sleep. It takes most people like 6 hours to get into, but narcoleptics don't. And because there's some studies, and this I did this thing with Stanford. I'll probably do it again, where they judge like your brain waves and stuff. When you're in and out of little episodes, your brain doesn't recognize the difference between reality and sleep. Like, it happens when I'm on the phone. My best friend Jackie can testify to this all the time. If I'm on the phone with someone late at night, I'll be talking normal conversation, and I can feel it a little bit, but I'll just be having a normal conversation, and don't forget the penguins out of the boot shed because they're ugly, and then I won't remember. Like, it's that, like, there's literally, like, the line between consciousness and unconsciousness is so fuzzy. It's kind of funny. I mean, if you're going to get something that's kind of weird, you might as well have it be funny.
Yeah, it's very interesting. But under control in your case.
That's why my medication's $8 billion.
There you go.
Thank you, Kaiser, for paying
it. Just all sounds so much like Paul.
Maybe he's narcolepsy. It's very undiagnosed.
I think he's just sleepy and drunk a lot.
That could be why.
Doesn't it sound like sleepy and drunk guy?
No.
Well, like, he stops paying attention late at night. He falls asleep on me. He says crazy stuff. That's Paul.
It could happen. There's actually a genetic test you can get done, because sometimes in order to get diagnosed with narcolepsy, you have to go through so much crazy shit in order to get tested. You have to pay $1 billion to like go through like a 4-day sleep test where you're like become a zombie. And then I have the genetic marker for it, which I think is interesting and scary. And so if there wasn't healthcare legislation, if I ever lost my job, I would be 1,000% uninsurable.
Thank you, Obamacare.
Thank you, Obamacare.
Yeah.
But if anyone ever thinks they might have it, they really should get tested.
Absolutely. All right.
Unless you're just drunk and lazy.
There's that. Yeah. If you're drunk and lazy, let it go. Just go with it.
And you're allowed to nap at work if you have narcolepsy.
Which is nice.
That's fantastic. All right, now we praised Ohio earlier for its showing.
Ohio.
Sure. So we go back to Ohio for dance teacher sentenced to a year in prison for having sex with teen student.
Oh, what's new?
Was it a man on man or what was it?
Female teacher.
A 34-year-old North Ridgeville tap dancing teacher.
Did they wear tap shoes when they fucked?
Sentenced Tuesday to 1 year in prison after being convicted in a jury trial of one count of unlawful sexual conduct with a minor.
It's almost not interesting anymore. There's so many teachers boinking their students.
Who isn't fucking their students?
The victim, a boy who was one of the woman's students, was 15 at the time of the offense, according to the evidence revealed in open court. Kimberly Elaine Sato and the boy had a sexual relationship that came to light, prosecutors said, when her husband reported it to Sagamore Hills police after finding condoms in his wife's dance bag, along with text messages between her and the victim on her phone.
At least they were safe.
Yes, that's really the key.
I just don't understand what a 15, like, innocence, to me, there's nothing purity. Sexual about a 15-year-old.
Think of it as a counselor, though. He's probably the exact opposite of her husband.
Well,
yeah, he's gross. He's 15. Ew.
Well, because we are rational people.
Right. You're not looking at it from the proper point of view. She's obviously got issues with other things like that. First of all, how many straight 15-year-old tap dancers are there?
I was actually going to say that. Maybe she's hardcore Christian, and she thought if she introduced him to the pleasureness of taco, that he would change his mind. And as a 15-year-old boy, stop taking tap dancing lessons.
Yeah, well, apparently she...
The pleasureness of taco.
The pleasureness of taco.
Apparently everything was going fine until she introduced him to alcohol because he drank to the point of passing out.
Does every person that preys on young kids, is that what they do? Like, hey, have two Zimas and we'll fuck?
Unless they're little, then they give them candy.
Ugh. Well, and the other thing is we you sort of make light of this because it's a guy and it's 15 years old and you're like, oh, okay, well, when you're 15, you're super horny. But if it were a 34-year-old male teacher and a 15-year-old female student, they would want that guy strung up by his nuts in the town square.
It's a very big double standard.
And it's a bullshit double standard. Preying on kids is preying on kids, whether you're male or a female. It fucks up your victims, Mel.
True.
Completely and totally, whether they are male or female, whether you are male or female, because they are not socially and emotionally able to handle that relationship. No matter what it is, it's stop it. Stop it. Hang them up, you know, run them up the flagpole by their vag lips. I don't care. Just do it.
Now, for a contrasting viewpoint, I'd like to welcome a spokesperson from NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, which is so fucked up.
The fact that such an organization exists?
The fact that people know, like, yes, that it exists. And coupled with that, the recent news that Penn State is actually giving serious consideration to naming their stadium after their disgraced Joe Paterno.
Well, to be fair, Joe Paterno didn't actually molest kids. He just he was a child pimp. He was an enabler.
This is a time I wish I had lots of money because I would go to Penn State and I'd say, I will give you $50 million if you name it Don't Rape Children Stadium.
Welcome, everybody, to this beautiful Saturday afternoon at NAMBLA Stadium.
Oh, that's so fun.
Come on out, boys and girls, to NAMBLA Stadium.
Ew. But mostly boys.
Boys under the age of 18 get in free.
Oh, but they don't get out.
See, it's
free.
A double standard. It's a gigantic. It's why male child abuse. Why male sex victims never come forward.
All right, Mel. This one's for you. I have no idea what's going on with this, but a rabbi is part of a probe into the death of a newborn. Apparently,
this is not new.
No.
This.
A rabbi once linked to the herpes-related death of a baby through oral suction circumcisions is part of investigation by the Brooklyn DA's office into a newborn baby's recent death from the virus.
Nobody does this anymore. It's so rare. It's always weird when you hear about these Hasidic Jews or whoever.
Hasidic Jews do it.
Yeah. Only some. Only small sects of still cuckoo crazy old world Hasids.
Oh.
I like how you said it.
So let me get this straight. Is this, and I apologize to anybody who's going to be a little ooky by this, but I need to understand what goes on here.
Yeah.
Is this where the rabbi takes a little baby and essentially sucks the foreskin into his teeth and bites it off?
No.
Okay. Thank God.
No. Basically, what they're doing is they do a regular bris. They remove the foreskin. And then the tradition says that by squeezing out some blood, you're preventing infection. But the original tradition, the way it was translated or understood, was that you had to actually physically, orally suck the blood to clean that area. But then when they started realizing that it wasn't clean, it was causing infection, mostly everybody just stopped doing it. And they do it using like a pipette kind of thing that sort of sucks on the tip of the penis and pulls blood through. And, you know, they use antibacterial stuff and they do it cleanly now, but a couple old world groups still do it by doing the oral suction. But that's after they've already removed the foreskin. They don't bite it off or anything.
Do you remember the Saturday Night Live? It was old school. They showed where they did a bris in a car. It was like a fake commercial. Growing up, I thought that Jews that got that done did it in a car. When I was little, I didn't understand that.
No,
that
it's
was
a big party at someone's house.
Yeah. Awkward story about my dad.
Does it involve his foreskin?
It does.
Okay.
My dad was circumcised at the age of like 9 or 10.
Ooh.
Because he wasn't circumcised when he was born, but his mom or grandmother didn't want him to be made fun of.
I had a friend that had it done in his 20s.
Yeah, it was older. I know someone that attempted to have reconstructive surgery because he wanted his foreskin back.
For what?
Well, because like in gay world, like, do you guys know what cut and uncut is?
Yes.
Because in gay world, people would be pretty forward. Like, I only like to date guys that are uncut. I don't get. Sometimes I like a turtleneck. Sometimes I like a polo.
You know, to convert, you have to be circumcised. And if you're already circumcised, they draw a drop of blood from the head of your penis. So Paul will not convert to marry me in a synagogue.
Yeah, good. Good for him. Protect your penis, Paul.
Yeah.
Your sacred turtle head. Protect it. The sacred mushroom. Do not be violated. like such a horrible thing. Anyway,
I think I saw that at Folsom.
You know, stories like that, just like the cop stories make cops look bad, stories like that make it look like we're crazy and backwards. But it's, you know, it's like the Kabbalah stuff. Like, most Jews don't practice Kabbalah. Most Jews don't have brises where people are sucking the penises. I mean, that is like a small piece of crazy.
I have a feeling that Madonna, who practices Kabbalah, if she was to have a bris, there'd be sucking of penis.
Right.
Well, I think that's just a Tuesday for Madonna, really, honestly.
She's so gross looking, though, now. I can't handle it.
She looks like a man.
That's
a really buff man.
Mel is going to town on the microphone by trying to pretend to suck the microphone.
What are you doing over there?
Can I ask you a nosy question?
Oh, no.
Yes.
Since you're doing that, do you like it when a man guides your head, or do you prefer to be over control, like... when you're mouthifying a wang.
When I'm mouthifying a wang, Larry, you know, I don't mind hands on my head and a little guiding, but no pressure, no forcing. I told you my story about the first time I ever did a blowjob.
Yeah.
Don't push, don't force. Like, if I need to come up for air, you need to be able to get out of my way. So it's okay if you're like, you know, holding on or supporting, or sometimes like a guy will like sort of rub your head or like massage your head to show support or whatever, that he's involved. That's fine, but don't be pushing and shoving. Don't be bossy. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I've got one of those wire head massager things. You see, like a Bed Bath and Beyond. Yeah, I get one of those. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have that.
I mean, there's nothing worse. I mean, I shouldn't say there's nothing worse, but I mean, I don't like totally silent guys or not involved guys, or a guy who like lays back and isn't responding, because, you know, everybody's a little insecure when they're doing that kind of stuff, and you want to know, like, is it good? Is it bad? You want a noise or a whatever, a little to the left, or a hand on your head kind of guiding, rather than somebody that just lays or quietly, because then you're always going like, am I ever going to be done? Like, where are we in the process?
Yeah.
True story.
Yeah. You don't want that. So thank you for clearing up the circumcision thing, Mel.
Sure.
Appreciate
sure.
that. We're here to educate as well as titillate.
Mel the Moyle.
Well, Rush Limbaugh undergoing a lot of scrutiny lately. So he has decided to defend himself against the National Organization for Women, although he calls them the National Association of Gals, or NAGS. So let's listen to Rush defend his bad self.
They have affectionately referred to the NOW gang as the NAGS, the National Association of Gals, for over 15 years.
So since I've been doing it for so long, and that makes it okay, right?
The head NOW gang babe was asked what she thinks about that yesterday on television. Yeah. After 15 years. Outraged. They are outraged.
They've been outraged for 15 years.
Here. And our telephone number, if you want to be on the program, 800.
Blah, 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 blah. Don't call this asshole.
The email address, El Rush.
Don't email him, because he won't read it unless you agree with him.
Well, famous to people in politics. A famous liberal Democrat strategist is puzzled. She doesn't know why women are voting for Santorum. She doesn't know why women are voting for Republicans.
Why would anyone vote for
Santorum? I'm still on the air.
Women or otherwise.
Because women, a lot of women are really silly. That's why.
When she learned that Santorum sent out an advertising flyer with a quote from me on women that helped. She admits to being stupefied by all of this.
That makes me think of Harry Potter.
And a lot to do here today, folks. As is always the case, a thrill and a delight to be with you. Apparently nothing is sacred anymore.
Nothing. Nothing sacred.
There are news reports today, and I'm going to write here in my formerly nicotine-stained fingers, news reports. That an Indian tribe in Wyoming... No, how can I be anti-woman? I even judge the Miss America pageant.
Oh, so that makes it totally...
I'm not a racist. I hired a black maid.
That was what I was trying to get to. How can he be anti-woman? He's judged the Miss America pageant.
WTF.
Oh, Rush. Now, he has lost about 140 sponsors. And that's not just him. That's the entire radio network that he's on, who do not want to be associated with him or his show. However, he has another group that's willing to come on and advertise on the Rush Limbaugh show. You might know them as a group that makes colorful signs and pickets things like soldiers' funerals and children's funerals and anything where there's gay people frolicking about. It's the Westboro Baptist Church. They're offering to come on board as an advertiser.
That is almost validating what a douche he is.
Exactly.
By saying we're on your side, right. It's like saying, like, for sure you're crazy because right. We're with you.
Let's put aside the gay thing. These are the people that go to funerals of dead soldiers.
Well, that's the only kind of soldier to have a funeral for.
Well, like 19, 20-year-old men that just died, and they are out there with vile, disgusting signs saying God wanted this to happen because of gay people. Now, it's hard for me to, but let's put aside their hatred of gay people for a second. Mm-hmm. Let's even put away side of how you might feel about the war or whatever. But to make people who are burying their dead son or daughter because they just died in a war and you're choosing to exploit them is quite possibly, I think, one of the most vile, reprehensive things. I don't really believe in hell, but like it's hard for me not to believe in a place where those people eventually will have to come to terms or be forced to accept the amount of hatred.
Or just be burned and mutilated.
And the fact that they have a lot of money, and the reason they do is because they sue every time they go and they're denied things. And so they make money. What I think is repulsive, and Southwest Airlines has banned them from flying sometimes because they always fly Southwest and they wear shirts that say like, thank God for AIDS, fags should die. And someone was like, a flight attendant one time was like, I don't feel safe with you on the plane, which I think was smart.
Well, that's the only thing a sky waitress has to say and you're off.
Thank God. Exactly what you just said. It makes me like tongue-tied at how stupid it is.
They are the group that became famous for their God Hates Fags signs.
Their website is godhatesfags.com.
Which, I don't know, and you call yourself a church. It doesn't work. It doesn't compute.
Right.
Well, most of their quote-unquote church is really this crazy old bastard Fred Phelps and his extended family of...
crazies?
Of should have been controlled by birth control. Don't wish abortion. Don't wish abortion on people, Mel.
I wonder if they would support abortion if it was a gay baby.
You know, well,
do they have like some level of like which is more evil, like a fisting daddy or like you know, an unborn fetus,
like a terror alert chart of gay.
The only thing I have to say is, and I hate, like, the only thing I'm thankful for about them is I think it opens some people's eyes to the level of hate there is.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, even if people might have feelings that I think are stupid and wrong, but, like, I don't have to worry about them doing stupid shit. Those are the people that incite people to be and to see their little kids hold signs. Ugh. Aside from the fact that if God really hated gay people, he wouldn't have invented AIDS because lesbians are the safest group there is for... to not get HIV.
Well, he hates gay men. Lesbians, I mean, they can still reproduce. They can be, I mean, look at Melissa Etheridge and her now ex, who had
the lesbians.
David Crosby. Really, that's the gene pool you want to go to, David Crosby?
They fancy a mustache.
And a horrible addiction to drugs.
Well, you know.
Yeah, so that's what their thing is. So anyway, we've run the gamut this week, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
We have. We do that all the time. That's what we do here. So I want to remind everybody that we only have a couple of weeks left on the old site. So go to natedarlingshow.com and subscribe to our feed that way. And there's instructions right on the front page in that first posting on how to do it. And it'll go right to your iTunes like it always does because we're going away on the old one in 2 weeks. So end of this month, the old site will be down, we'll be on the new site, and hopefully we'll be in the iTunes store, but there are instructions on how to get us in your iTunes the same as you always have. So, and tell a friend too. So we've reached the end of the show, and you know what?
Oh,
I know.
Kind of sad.
I know. Well, we've been doing it for about as long as we normally do. So that means it's time for
Small Town News. Everybody loves that Small Town News.
And I looked for small town news from the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont. I looked all over, and they had real news this week. Like
real news.
Well, drug busts and kids being molested and things like that. So I had to go across the lake, as I've done before, to Plattsburgh, New York, where I went to college. It's a college town, upstate New York, about 30 miles south of the Canadian border. And the headline...
A lot of Canadians cross the border illegally.
They
work in the food court at Plattsburgh.
They come down to shop, baby. This is the headline in the Press Republican: Plattsburgh dentist office moving to larger facility.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's news, man.
That's small town news.
Damn tootin'.
High Peaks Dental in Plattsburgh is currently involved in a major expansion.
Woo!
that has seen the local dental office move to a more spacious and user-friendly facility.
Praise Jesus.
I don't know what more user-friendly means. I think it means you can park out front. Because before you had to like park around the corner and walk.
And there's a Starbucks.
Well, there's only one in town,
and
I think.
And a cotton candy machine.
I take that back. I believe there's two Starbucks in town, but one of them is just on campus. Doctors Michael O'Connor and William Calden recently opened their brand new facility on the second floor of a strip mall on Route 3 that houses Plattsburgh Medical Center. The facility's 5,000 square feet of office space provides up to 14 exam rooms.
Holy shit!
Yep, with 9 of those rooms already operational, bitches.
Awesome.
Yeah.
They have 14 dentists?
They say...
No, but you know when you go, all the dental assistants are seeing clients and the dentist pops in room to room to room.
My dentist is being investigated and he lost his dental license because he was doing work that didn't even be neat, that people didn't need. There's scandal. I'll have updates in future episodes.
That's not small town news. That's real news. Yeah. Well, they started with 4 treatment rooms at the old facility and expanded to 6 rooms, but there was little more that they could do to expand there. So both dentists shared their thoughts on the recent move. It's on Route 3 just before the intersection with Military Turnpike. So you can find it.
We're going to take a field trip.
I feel so much better knowing. I mean, I'm glad they printed a story about it. I wouldn't have known where to find them.
Yep. Jeez, I mean, think. Oh, my God. There's so many dental opportunities now.
There are.
I want to go.
9 places are open
And
already.
If you're a dental intern, they're probably looking to hire.
I bet they could sublease one of their dental rooms out to the woman that tries out sex toys.
Maybe.
Why is that so buzzy noise? Ooh, it's a new laser we're using.
It's the laser whitening.
Ah! She really likes her root canal. Ooh, that noise scares me. Is that what women sound like during sex?
No.
If you're doing it right.
What do you sound like during sex?
Not like that.
What do you do? I'm just curious.
What do you mean, what do I do?
Like, are you a moaner? Are you a groaner? Are you quiet? Are you like, yeah, ride me, daddy? Or like...
I'm not a talker.
Oh,
I don't. I don't think I say words, but I'm a yeller. Ooh. I'm a screamer. I guess.
Ah, like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there was a little of that in there,
but not the I think that sounds creepy and
not
weird.
Not like porn star.
Yeah.
You know, it depends. In my experience with women, it sort of varies.
Plus, it's sort of. I mean, this is. I don't even know why I'm about to say.
Oh well, then.
It's sort of embarrassing, but my voice is deep, obviously, and so I find sometimes it sounds weird even to me because it'll be like, like, it sounds like a tranny. It sounds like a dude.
You said I sound like a tranny during sex,
and it's awkward because my voice gets deep sometimes. Especially gets huskier the more aroused I am, yeah. And then it sounds deep, and I don't think it's cute.
Well.
That was TMI. Yeah. Sorry, honey.
That was awesome. That was on
my
TMI.
My name is Mel, and I want you to ride my vagina.
That's pretty much what you sound like during sex, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Oh, my.
I can't say dirty words, though, during sex. It makes me uncomfortable. Like,
really?
I would never say vagina during sex.
Well, no, you don't say vagina. You have to spice it up.
I can't say any words about body parts
really?
During sex. It makes me super uncomfortable.
Really? See, I've no...
Like, it sounds cheeseball and scripted. If you say, like, cock or pussy during sex, it just makes me ooky.
Pet peeve. Sometimes dudes refer to certain parts of their body as boy pussy. Literally, it's the most repulsive thing I've ever heard. If that happens, I'm closing up shop and I'm going home.
Ew. Boy pussy?
Yes. As in, for example, yeah, ride my boy pussy. Like, I can't even saying it. Literally, it gives me...
I just think it sounds cheesy. I dated a guy a million years ago who was dead silent during sex, so I was always pressuring him to be, like, more vocal. Yeah. But then it became, like, this ridiculous, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, baby, oh, baby. And I'm like, okay, just go back to not saying anything, because now you're just killing me.
No.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, I can't say any dirty words really? During sex. I it makes me uncomfortable, and then I lose my mood.
You know, and that's a complaint I have about women, because guys, if a woman says something really weird that throws you off, you're like you're bumped for a second, and then you go right back to work. If
it's
you
very
say,
mental for us.
If you say the wrong thing with a woman, it's like, and then it's like, well, no, just go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm fine.
You can not, you can just stop if someone says the right thing.
They completely disengage, Larry.
What?
My God. It's like turning off a bot. It's the craziest thing.
I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but for me, it's incredibly mental, and I'm working like physically, but I also have sort of a whole thing in my head going on. If I lose concentration or if I'm not into
Are
it mentally,
serious?
I lose focus.
I have a friend of mine that's repeated, his boyfriend repeatedly calls him different names when they have sex, and they just find it funny. if you're a dude, you don't like that shit does not matter during like.
Oh, yeah. It's so mental really? For me. Yeah.
Yeah. Women get all up in their heads about stuff. God. And you like it's like defeat. It's like a it's really it's like being on the bomb squad. I swear to Christ, because you what? Snip the wrong wire and it just explodes in your face and not in a good way.
I don't.
Oh my God!
Straight
yeah,
people, straight guys have it hard.
Yeah,
I
we do.
Never had to think that.
I mean, it's not,
that.
And it's not that girls are like crazy or whatever. It's our anatomy is different, and it just it's all tied together with mental what? And physical in a just a different way. Guys, just their penis is going to get hard, and they can use it for us to have the arousal. It requires some amount of mental connection.
So let's just say, case in point, if there was a hot guy sitting right there, could you just get up and start having sex?
No.
Oh no, we have to work, Larry. You have no idea.
That's like, oh my God. See, you guys are making me say stuff I should never say.
No, I'm on your side.
Like, for example, like, I find with a guy, if you go right up to a guy and you squeeze his junk, he'll get aroused. And you
course.
Can pretty much move pretty quickly from
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, Nate and I are just hanging out. But if I reached over and reached into his lap, I think I could have him aroused pretty quickly. Whereas a girl, if you reach over first thing and grab her vagina, that's like a huge turnoff.
Oh, it shuts like a Venus flytrap, Larry.
It's too quick. You got to be really slow mm-hmm. and sort of work up to it because she's got to get kind of in the mood and mentally and physically prepared. And guys will do that. They'll go right for, you know, they'll grab a nipple or they'll grab the vagina or they'll try to start rubbing on your clitoris super quick. And you're like, no, I'm not ready.
Yeah, you have to preheat the oven.
Yeah.
You have to preheat the oven. Which is conversation.
And guys don't think that. They think, like, I grab my junk, it's hard. I grab your junk, we're good to go. And it's like, it's the opposite.
And that's why someone my age is way better than some dude in his 20s. Because I know what I'm doing. Exact. Mel's pointing to her nose.
Oh,
because
it's
I
so
that
true.
So, because you make the mistakes when you're in your 20s. And when you're doing it with girls that have really no idea what's going on. Because every guy they've been with is a clueless fuck. It just becomes that way.
That's
but,
why, I mean, Paul's older than I am, and I don't mind that he's had girls. I mean, he was a bit of a man slut, I think, for a while, and it just makes him that much more marinated and better.
Marinated?
He's marinated.
literally marinated.
Yeah, I mean, he's had time to sort of soak up the juices and really learn learn a craft.
He's learned a craft.
Yeah.
Of cocksmanship.
Yes.
I feel like there's such a divide between you straight people and
oh yeah,
it's, over here I can't even.
The funniest thing for because it's a podcast, I'm gonna explain, Larry is looking over at us the way the people on the spaceship looked at the alien when it first came out. Like, what the fuck is this we're looking at here? This makes no sense at all to me.
I mean, I understand what you're saying. I mean, I have friends that are girls and I get it, but like, I just can't. Like, when I've dated people, like, there have been times, literally, I'm not even exaggerating, that maybe, I'm not even talking necessarily full out sex, but, like, there have been times when you might literally have 45 seconds, and it's just like, bam, bada boom, bye.
Now, I'm not saying, like, I can't be, like, we go out to dinner, and I'm thinking about it the whole time, so I'm already turned on by the time we get home, and then it's going to take 10 seconds till I'm ready
right,
to go.
Right, right,
but if it's, like, from a cold, like, you come to the front door, and I have not been masturbating or thinking about sex, like, I'm watching Real World, and you show up at the door and grab my vagina, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, Larry. And
which is why I think gay male hookup culture. So I mean, because you can go on an app and find out where someone is and be at their house in 4 minutes, and you know.
Yeah, you could do that with us, but then you'd have to come over and like talk sweet and have a glass of wine.
Oh yeah, have a glass of wine, listen to their day, maybe rub their feet a little bit,
yeah.
And then but don't do it too well, because if you rub their feet too much, they'll get really relaxed and they'll get sleepy.
Yeah, you got to tease.
Yeah.
Like around the breast area, thighs, back, neck, you know, all the sort of near erogenous zones. Like guys think that you should go right for erogenous zones. With girls, I find you tease, like you want them to be like arching towards you, trying to get you to touch them where they want you to touch them. And you don't do it because that gets them worked up.
Larry is very confused by this. We might as well be speaking Chinese. Oh, wait, he speaks Chinese. Little bit of Chinese. Larry's just very confused right now by this whole thing.
Oh, so does my niece. My niece is here visiting, and
aww.
I just have to tell you one really quick mind-blowing story. So there was some pictures on my refrigerator, right? And a lot of them are her parents, obviously, because I have a lot of their postcards and stuff. And there's a picture on the refrigerator from way before she was born, so she never has seen this picture, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, Mila, what is this? And she goes, it's Mommy and Daddy. And I said, that's right, but where are they? And she sat there probably for a good 30 or 40 seconds looking at the picture and looking at me and looking at the picture. And finally she turns to me and she goes, Machu Picchu? blew my fucking mind.
Wow.
And my brother's like,
in Machu Picchu?
It was Machu Picchu. She's seen pictures of Machu Picchu and she was able to recognize that that was fucking Machu Picchu.
Wow.
What the hell? No. She's 2 years old.
She's half Chinese.
Right?
Oh, yeah,
she's a genius.
It's built right in.
Is she playing the piano or violin? Right
I imagine they just got a piano, so she'll probably be playing the piano.
Of course.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up, man.
If you have any more sex questions, just email me.
We had a nice little bonus session there after Small Town News of how to please a lady.
I'm so excited. I
there you go.
Fun facts.
Yeah, Mel gave out some lessons. We revealed that I know what I'm doing.
Aren't you supposed to do the come here when you finger a lady? Isn't that the secret?
Everyone's different, so I can't tell you for sure, but yep. that is definitely, that works.
Yeah, well, that's
because
it's
curvy. It's not straight.
That's the G-spot.
If you believe in that.
Larry's talking about the G-spot right now. By the time you get to that point, your work is already done. You're pretty much there. If you can
use I statements and not you statements.
If you can drop a digit on a lady, you've already pretty much there. You're like you can see your house from there, basically, is what I'm saying.
You're almost home.
Yeah. It's true. You're ready to slide into home, so to speak.
I feel the need to go to confession.
You should. Hey everybody, thanks for joining us this week.
Talk to you next week.
We'll be back next week for another show. Remember, NateDarlingShow.com. Subscribe to the new feed because the old one is going away. Have a great week, everybody. Same.